your family. Don't watch The Rock on New Year's Eve. Everybody's going to be pitchy.
Let me give you Diana Ross quickly.
She's a baller.
Hall of Famer. I'm a Motown fan.
Me too, Mickey.
Love that. Diana Ross, let me give you top 10 here. Upside Down, obviously. I'm Coming Out. I'm coming out.
It sounded kind of good.
Yeah, Endless Love with Lionel Richie. Missing You. Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Now, that's a remake. That's a Marvin Gaye deal, I think. And then all of the Supreme stuff. Yeah, that's Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
Can't Hurry Love.
Love it.
Bangers.
Love it. Our friends, we just had let me tell you a little bit about Carolina Floyd Specialist. 404-8158, 404-8158. Our garage floor is awesome. We were in our garage last night. My little girl loves our garage, and she's always climbing. We got a couple of those little cars, you know, that she climbs on. And she had a dollhouse, and we took it outside for that one. But, like, she's always out there and always wanting to play outside and always wanting to be outside. And with the rain, we just spent a lot of time in the garage this week. I changed a putter grip yesterday in the garage and spilled a little bit of the solution on it. So I just wiped it up. That would have left a stain before. So it's awesome. It's our great friends over at Carolina Flooring Specialists. No obligation phone call. Get in touch with them. Love to help you out. Take 10 minutes and let them come by and show you what they do and how they do it. So our great friends at Carolina Flooring Specialists, 404-8158, 404-8158. Get a couple phone calls in the segment. If you're on hold, hang on, do this quickly. Georgia Tech was 8-0. I predicted Georgia Tech to go 11-1 last year. And they were 8-0. And Brent Key was very, very close to getting it done. And then they lost to a bad NC State team. That NC State came in at 4-4 and 1-3 in the league. And NC State really blew Georgia Tech's doors off, 48-36. C.J. Bailey threw for 340 yards. They rushed for 243. And it was a nightmare in Raleigh that ended their undefeated season. And you're like, okay. Well, we were looking ahead, whatever. Then it took a miracle finish to beat Boston College the next week, and they gave up 537 yards to Boston College, and they had to have a field goal. They were down 34-33. They kicked a field goal with 11 seconds to go to win that game, and that's the last win of the year because Pittsburgh came in. And remember this. This was they're 9-1, and they're ranked 16th in the country, and everything's going great, and they're playing Pittsburgh for a chance to go to the ACC championship game, and Pittsburgh comes in and absolutely blitzkriegs them. It's 21-0 in the first quarter. And they lose that one. They try to come back, but they lose that one. And then they fight hard in the dome and lose to Georgia, in which they bear with me a second here on this one. 16-9. That was a weird game. Both teams kind of pillow fought a little bit. They held Georgia 260 yards, but Georgia Tech's offense, it was the exact opposite of the year before. It was a high-flying deal. And then lost the bowl game. I don't hold the bowl game. They lost to BYU. I don't hold them accountable for that. You got opt-outs and all that. But with that said, you're 8-0. You got a chance. You're ranked going into that game with NC State. See what I'm saying? You're ranked 8th in the country. You lose 4 of your last 5. Haynes King obviously graduates. Anthony Filo was going to be the next guy. He transfers to Florida. Buster Faulkner, one of the most highly thought of offensive coordinators in the country, he leaves Georgia Tech to go to Florida. And it just feels like everything fell apart. If you'd have told me on November the 1st last year, going to the NC State game, they were 8th in the country and 8-0. They lose 4 of the last 5, lose offensive coordinator, lose everybody around them. And now I'm coming in this year, like, I don't know, man. Like, it feels like a huge question mark. So my point through all this is it's one thing to build and to climb, but it's another thing, like, you have – and very few times in life, Ashby Mixon, does opportunity come to you, and you got this door in this thing, and it might come again. There are a few windows for every coach out there. This was a window. This is a door that he could have kicked in, and he didn't. And then you look at it like moving forward. Now, can he do it again? Is there going to be another window for him? Sometimes you only get one. Jim Grobe had like one. Sometimes you only get one. And if it doesn't, is it going to happen again? And if it does happen again, did he learn anything like Dabo did? You know, Dabo's team we talked about with the they're like 8-0 and they lost out at Georgia Tech and they fell apart at the end of the year. But they weren't ready. They weren't mature enough to handle it. You got to handle success too. Part of being a great coach is not just the fact that we can handle all the adversity. That's easy. It's easy to rally the troops and keep it. How about handling success? I told you many times on the show, if you are a human, like, we don't handle success well. Mm-mm. And we get fat and happy and sassy and complacent. And they didn't do very well. And then in the offseason, can he put it back together again? Or was this Buster Faulkner's deal? This is going to be weird to get a place, a second-time defensive coordinator, two years in a row. It just feels like, man, what? That's a few short months away from November the 1st. You're on top of the college football world. Now you're like, I don't know. So where are you in this?
When I look back at 2025 Georgia Tech, it kind of reminds me of an inverse 2025 Clemson in some ways, right? They had an equal amount of close games that were won by one possession, one score, the kick at the end against Clemson, an overtime game against Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And this was a schedule that...
It was so set up for them.
It was so set up for them. This is not a hard schedule when you look at it. Yes, the Georgia game that you're always going to have, Pitt, Virginia Tech at Georgia Tech. Like, this was a very good opportunity to do it. And now you have a slightly harder schedule against without your best guys, and I don't necessarily feel great about it. However, if you could build on the good from the early part of the season, learn how to use that success. But I don't know. I'm of the opinion that Georgia Tech was never an outstanding team last year.
Yeah.
Maybe a hot take.
Besides, Clemson wasn't very good this year. They didn't really beat anybody last year.
No, they didn't.
Thing.
No, they didn't. Which was what was hurting them. That's why they were, not a top five team after being 8-0, whatever. It's gonna tell you a lot about Brent Key this year.
Yeah. Yeah. My gut is that it won't go well this year. And my gut is that Buster Faulkner will look really, really bright. Speaking of Buster Faulkner, who was a Georgia guy? Let's go to Georgia Greg down in Greenwood. Come on, Greg. How you doing?
Good, Mickey. It's been a long time. I thought I'd call
you. I was going to say, where you been? I've been worried about you down there.
I know. I know. I hope you and your family are well.
We are.
I was going to talk about something, but briefly, my thoughts are along the line yours. I think Georgia Tech rode the chip on the shoulder with the 9 overtime. Should have beat Georgia the year before. Had the thought we're better than where we came out that game. We're going to ride it. They rode it. Fell. I'm not only all the losses they had. I think the psychology. I agree with you. I think they're looking at a 5-7 season, something like that. I just don't see how they. I think the psychology of it is going to affect them as well as the physical losses they had in the coaching and the quarterback and all that, in my opinion.
Yeah. But he was so close. Why didn't he, like, if he'd have just beat Georgia and Athens, if he'd have beat Georgia last year, if he'd have beat, if he'd beat Notre Dame in the Dome, like there's some games in there where he was really, really close to getting the thing done. If he just beats Pittsburgh, he goes to the ACC championship game, and they can't beat stinking Pittsburgh at home. Senior night for Haynes King and all that, it was all set up for them, and they couldn't kick the door in.
When you're in that situation, if you can't keep it there, if you're Ohio State, you can go through this peak and valley and try and get back up, but it's hard. I just think it's going to be hard for Tech to get back up. But hey, question for you. Boston College have any chance this weekend? You think Georgia should have any concerns, or you think they're riding high to get through the regional?
Let me give you this. I would be more concerned about Liberty.
Okay.
Now, the key to the whole regional to me is who does Liberty pitch today? Because Liberty's got a Friday night guy that is phenomenal. It's going to be a first round pick, and he's going to be awesome. But if they try to beat Boston College in round one, then and they pitch him, then it might go as well. But Liberty, now they play as tough a schedule as anybody, and I think they're. Boston College is not a threat to you because, you know, Foley Field is an offensive park, and Boston College is a bunt and steal and run team. They'll play well. I just think that Liberty's going to beat Boston College today, and I think you can be looking at Liberty tomorrow. So, okay. But the way your offense is, I mean, Georgia hits these rocket ships, 100-mile-an-hour rocket ships every at-bat, it seems like. So
they,
I think
really,
you're fine.
Yeah. I hope so. Hey, I'd be honest with you, I hadn't listened much off season. I need to get back in track with you. I did hear y'all's little segment as I was coming to work on Pete Golden yesterday. Yeah. My goodness. y'all couldn't get off that, could you?
Well, buddy. Pete Golden is too easy. It's like it's the easiest target ever. Yeah. And he's such a scumbag, you know? So, we got to kick him while he's down. I have no problem kicking him while he's down.
That was funny. All right. Well, hey, y'all take care.
All right, buddy.
I'll check in more often.
Always good to hear from you. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Georgia baseball, they just hit these rocket ships.
They're good, man. They're really good.
Here's the thing. I speaking of Georgia Tech, I'm fascinated about what that's going to look like if they get to Omaha. The other thing is, I need to know this. I hadn't looked at this. On the bracket, who's Georgia lined up with the Super Regional?
Let me check on that.
All right. That's really important. Let me get how I do that, and we'll talk about that here in the end. How you been patient with me, man? Thanks for hanging on through those last two guests. How you doing today? Hey, how? Halamungus. Halliburton. Halamingo.
You doing?
Coming back. So, where am I going to find my bracket of who you're matched up with?
All right, I got it right here.
All right, who you got?
So you got the...
Georgia's number 3 overall seed. So they're going to be home for Super Regional if they win.
Yes.
Foley Field.
Let me look and see.
Have you been to Foley Field before? Did you go... Did you tour any of the Athens facilities while you're down there for softball? You'll just buzz the light tower and get in and get out.
I toured when I was in high school. I went over to Athens and saw it then. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, I like Athens.
Athens is awesome. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Georgia is paired up with Mississippi State and Supers.
Go State.
They win.
Go State.
But it would be at Georgia.
Yeah.
Which, that's the hardest part of playing Mississippi State a lot of the time. It's going to Dooley Noble.
All right. Did they play, I'm going to look this up now, did they play in the regular season? We're getting ahead of ourselves. We're just automatically giving it to Georgia.
Yes. They did. And I want to say that Georgia Tech.
No, Mississippi State, Georgia swept Mississippi State. At Mississippi State. If you're going to beat Georgia, you better score about 13. In Georgia's losses this year, Auburn scored 14 on them. Ole Miss scored 10 and 14. Arkansas beat them 6-3.
Hey.
Florida scored 13. Florida scored 8. Kennesaw State scored 10. A&M scored 18. Tennessee scored 7.
Get this.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech beat Georgia 14-4.
Yeah.
Truist Park in April.
Georgia Tech. And that was one of those games, I don't know if you remember the stat that came from that game or not, but there were like 21 balls that were over 100 miles an hour.
Holy cow.
It's crazy.
There were, 24 combined hits that game. Tracks.
And they were, like, the Braves that night were on the road, and the Braves had, in that whole game, there were like 4 balls that went over 100 miles an hour off the bat. And the Georgia Tech game had like 21 or 23 or something like that. It's like crazy.
There's a lot of pros between those two teams, that's for sure.
I would say this. I think both those offenses are like, I think as good as offense you'll see in college baseball. I think Georgia Tech's the best offense I've ever seen.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, listen, there's some – to get to Omaha, I think you got to have a good offense. To win it all, I think you got to have a deep pitching staff.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything going to win it all. I'm just saying that Georgia Tech's lineup, top to bottom, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before.
I don't either. But I think their pitching may be good enough to get. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. Let me give you this quick before we take a break. This is Georgia Tech's offense. Do you have a calculator out in front of you? Can you get a calculator? Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech's played 57 games this year. They scored 616 runs. How many runs per game is that? 616 divided by 57.
10.8.
They averaged 10.8 runs per game.
Mm.
All right. I'm only going to give you – like, I'm not going to give you the lower guys. Like, Tyler Neese hit 667 this year for Georgia Tech, but he was 2-for-3. Nathan Kopit went 6-of-12. He hit 500. Their bench guy – because this is all right, we're going to get into it. I got to take a break. If you want to be like drive off the road, everybody pull off the road before I tell you Georgia Tech offensive stats this year. All right. Short break. We'll come back and be a. You're going to drop a bomb on us right now when we come back. A couple quick things. One, Engineer Sleep. Love our Engineer Sleep bed. I have a goal this weekend. I got to get more sleep, man. This football camp thing wore me out. I need to climb in an Engineer Sleep bed. The kids are out of school today. My wife's off today, so I want to get a nap with Isla. My wife and I fight on which one can go put Isla down for, you know, go sleep with her for an hour. Like, just give me just an hour, man. Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com. Got to check see how I did now from last night. We love our bed. It's a phenomenal. It's Engineer Sleep. 84% recovery, so I'm in the green. That's good. Engineer Sleep Bed is an amazing company that has the best mattresses in the world at an awesome price. Engineer Sleep, Engineer Sleep. .com. So I want to talk Georgia Tech offense here for a second. And we just did this. This is an offense that averaged 10 runs a game, 10.8 runs per game. This is also an offense that is not just the numbers. Like, they look the part. Josh Williams texts me all the time, and he goes, when the ball comes off their bat, it sounds differently. That's what we always said about Tiger Woods. Like, when it comes off a club, it sounds different. When Georgia Tech hits a baseball, it just sounds different. So, let me give you some more stats here. Georgia Tech hit 358 as a team.
Oh, my. Say that again.
Georgia Tech hit 358 as a team. Georgia Tech had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They had 13 hitters. They hit 300 or higher. And again, I'm not going to get, like, Drew Rogers got taken out of the lineup because he's only hitting 247.
I'll take him.
Yes. Coleman Lewis hit 261 in 13 games. He was 6 of 23. Cade Brown hit 273. He was 3 of 11. Dominic Stevenson was 2 for 4, hit 500. I'm not counting that guy. Judson Hartwell, 2 for 4, 500. Not counting that guy. Michael D., 2-for-4, hit 500. Not counting that guy. Nathaniel Kupit, 6-of-12. Not counting that guy. Tyler Neese was 2-for-3 in the season. Not counting that guy. On the guys that played every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Here's their lineup. Their worst hitter in their lineup, the lowest batting average of their starting nine, is Caleb Daniel, who hit 290 with 9 homers. And 27 RBIs. Parker Brocious hit 297 with 9 bombs and 37 RBIs. That's their eighth best hitter. Their seventh lowest of their starting lineup, their seventh worst hitter average-wise was Kent Smith, who hit 317.
How many homers?
7 homers and 49 RBIs. In 57 games, he had 49 RBIs. He's their seventh place hitter.
Golly.
Will Baker is their sixth best hitter at 332 with 9 bombs and 48 RBIs. Oh, by the way, they got 7 guys who have at least 40 RBIs, at least 44 RBIs. Alex Hernandez, their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Their sixth best hitter is Alex Hernandez, who hit 342.
Sixth best. Y'all.
Their fifth highest starting batting average was Ryan Zuckerman, who who hit 350 with 23 home runs and 76 RBIs. Drew Burris, All-American, first-round draft pick, was only their fourth-best hitter. He hit 366 with 14 home runs, with 22 doubles, and with 56 RBIs in 57 games. He's only their fourth-best hitter. Their third-best hitter was Kaysen Kearse. He hit 389 with 28 RBIs, 10 homers, and 28 doubles, 10 homers, and 47 RBIs. The best player on the team is this Vaughn Lackey guy behind the plate.
Yeah, he's kind of a next-level type of guy.
He hit 410 with 16 doubles, 18 home runs, 75 RBIs. He was 14 and 15 in stolen bases. As a catcher?
And he's a really good catcher,
He's a
too.
Great defensive catcher.
Like, throw you out, good catcher.
And their leading hitter was Jaron hold on here. Avankula?
Yeah.
He hit 431. In 57 games, he had 103 hits. He had 13 doubles and 2 triples and 9 homers and 63 RBIs. He scored 69 runs. Vaughn Lackey scored 80 runs in 59 games. They averaged 10.8 runs per game.
Realistically, I think most of those guys are draft eligible. How many of them get drafted?
Every one of them. I'm drafting every one of them.
All of them? I think you have to. They're all.
They average 12 and a half hits a game. They slugged at a 636. Mm. Their on base percentage is 469 as a team.
I'm going to go look at their pitching. Hold on.
Pitching's not bad. Teams only hit 246 against them. They only give up 274 runs. So 274 in 57 games. Bear with me a second. 274 in 57 games. They only gave up 4.8 runs a game. They outscored their opponents by 6 runs per game.
That is good enough. That's good enough. My only concern with this kind of a team is that they get to Omaha and somebody like Georgia outpaces them, right? Another crazy offense like this. But I think they have the pitching staff that's good enough. Their relievers are good enough. They're my pick to win it. Watch out.
That's what I'm saying.
UCLA.
UCLA's got great pitching.
It's also really good, too.
Georgia Tech went 25-5 in a good ACC. Georgia Tech went 14-4 against ranked teams.
They have the fifth best ERA in the conference under North Carolina and Florida State and then Clemson. But
Vaughn Lackey's the greatest catcher in the history of the game. He's better than Johnny Bench and Carlton Fisk and Yogi Berra. Like, this guy, telling you, man, this guy, Vaughn Lackey's going to the Hall of Fame. You know what Eric Backus said about Vaughn Lackey?
Tell me.
After the series is over, I asked him, I was like, man, is this guy, he's picking off runners. He's hitting bombs. He's hitting doubles. Like, is this guy the greatest player I've ever seen? And he said, I told our staff after the weekend's over, like, that's what $100 million looks like. That guy's going to make $100 million playing baseball.
He's one of those that he's going to go straight to AAA. He'll be in the bigs in a month. He's so good. That team is as painful as it was. Mm. Kind of see the difference between where Clemson was and where they were this year.
It hurt so bad.
It was fun to watch them throughout the rest of the season.
It didn't look too fun to me.
No, not that series. The rest of the year.
Oh, okay, the rest of the year. Okay. They were 34. They were 30-4 at home. Who beat them? Like, how do you beat Georgia Tech? Anyway, there's some stuff for you there. All right, let me get Roger and Anderson, 654 Roar, Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Good morning, Roger. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Mickey. You remember who the first player was that went straight from college to the pros?
Bob Horner?
That's right. He just passed away.
I know. At age of 68. Bob Horner, man. I was a that was my Braves formative years, watching a Bob Horner over there. Actually, Darrell Evans and some of those guys before that. But Bob Horner.
Darrell Evans, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Horner's a player. Home run guy, Arizona State guy, home run guy. Had the perm, you know?
Yeah. had that blonde semi-pro fro going.
Oh, yeah.
But he went straight from Arizona State. He was drafted in 78. I remember I just started following baseball sort of closely in the years before that. And, you know, I didn't have cable back then. I had no clue, you know, about the guy. But we would go to my grandmother. She lived in Valdosta, and she had access to the Braves games. And we was watching the Braves, and all of a sudden I see this was probably August of 78 after he'd been drafted. I had heard of him, but I saw him play, and they were playing a game in Wrigley with the wind blowing out, and he had a couple of home runs. I think Murph hit one. You know, to me, he and Murphy symbolizes those early 80s teams. And you think about that, what the Braves have lost as a sort of heritage organization the last few weeks, months, they lost Ted Turner, the main man, and, of course, Bobby Cox, who I don't know if he managed Horner. I think Cox came along later. Horner's career got cut short by that wrist injury. He had a bad wrist injury in 83, and he had to take 1984 completely off, if I remember. And he came back, and he just did not have the snap. He still hit. He had a four-homer game in 1986.
Yeah, four homers in one game.
He did not have the power was sort of diminished, and he wasn't great defensively. He probably would have been better as a first baseman. He ended up going there, I think, when he played for Whitey Herzog at St. Louis. He might have played a little bit of first for the Braves, but they had that. Those were the Chris Chambliss, Bob Watson platoon years, so they had first base pretty well covered. But he. As a hitter, man, late 70s, early 80s, he was so kind. He had that compact swing and just hit rifle line drives in Fulton County. I remember going to see him several times. He was my favorite. Everybody was a Murphy guy. I went for Horner. I like Murphy a lot, but I always pulled for Horner.
Bob Horner averaged 35 homers, 109 RBIs for 162 games. He was hurt, like you said, though. But, man, that guy, yeah. No minor league. Well, never hit in the minor league baseball. Never played in a minor league baseball game. How about that?
No. He had got there, and they had just figured out that Dale Murphy was not a catcher. He was not like this guy you were talking about. He was not the next Pudge or Johnny Bench.
Right.
Because he was 6'4", and he was obviously not the – yeah.
You remember he went and played in Japan for a year, though. He had the collusion deal, and he had to go play in Japan for a year, and he came back and played with the Cards. Yeah, played for Whitey Herzog.
Mickey, Dale Murphy, I was watching him yesterday on a podcast talking about that. He did not play in 87. He went to Japan because of the, I don't know if you remember this, there was a big collusion case.
Yeah, collusion case.
And Dale Murphy, he still was a little upset about that. He said, Horner and a lot of guys in 1987, that was the year that they had a collusion against free agency. And the commissioner was, Dale Murphy said, because the commissioner was orchestrating the whole thing. He said he didn't want all these superstar players moving around. And Dale Murphy said yesterday, in 1987, in the offseason, going into 88, they had plans to either get both Andre Dawson or Tim Raines or one of them. And they got neither. And Bob Horner went to Japan for that year and came back and played a little bit in St. Louis.
How about that?
But Dale Murphy was like, if we could have got Raines and Dawson, we could have been contenders through the end of my career.
Remember it well, man. Here, yeah, remember it well. Bob Horner, 68 years old.
Yeah, Bob.
Yep.
Hey, can I say something real quick on NIL stuff?
Sure.
A lot of people poo-poo the NIL and player movement and transfer portal and all that. Personally, this is my opinion. Before NIL and transfer portal, kids transfer, but it's nothing like it is now. And I got to be honest, I'm all in favor of it because I think about this. Before this situation, when they were coming out of high school, they could pick where they wanted to go. If you're a 4- or 5-star player, you have choices. You can go to several different colleges, probably. Well, but then you get drafted in the NFL. Say you're a top player, you get drafted. You have no control after that. You have no control after your college career. Where do you go?
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do, the NFL will cut you in a skinny minute.
Yep.
All they care about. That matters is the signing bonus. But now you have more control of your career in college. And I know a lot of people don't like that. But you think about the short career span of a football player and how little control they have, because the NFL and free agency is not like baseball or other sports. It's very tight. The windows are tight, and the market is sort of a market where, you know, you're at the whim of, you know, does somebody really wants you after you've been, because your career is usually 3 or 4 years, especially if you're a running back or a skill position player. Unless you're a top quarterback, you don't have a lot of choice. Or unless you're just no good and the team cuts you, and then you hope somebody calls you. But you know what I'm saying? It's like you have more control as a high school, very good high school player going somewhere to college. And then in college, you can transfer now like you do and like it is now with the transfer portal. But after that, you get drafted, you're stuck. You don't have any control.
For the contract, you don't. But the other part of it is you could always transfer. You just had to sit out a year. And now, and you know, is it worth it to do it? So now it wouldn't be. So now you just go everywhere you want to go every single year and multiple times and all that.
It's opened up more, though.
Yeah, it's opened up more. There's no doubt about that. But I think at the
– I'm not saying there's not negatives to it.
Yeah.
But I like the player movement. I'm all for free agency. I think free agency is a very good thing. You know, because your career in that sport is very short.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, you're running back. Think what Herschel Walker would have been like with a transfer portal. Now, Georgia would have locked him down. That they already got him a Trans Am. They got him anything he wanted.
Oh, he got, yeah. You think what Herschel Walker would
have been
like? I mean,
come on. And we know Nick Saban paid under the table for years before this system happened. That, you know, come on. We're not stupid. But now it's a more even playing field.
Yeah.
Now all these teams, most of them, have enough money to where they can get players like that. But again, like I said, once you finish your college career and you get drafted by the NFL, you might go to a team you don't want to go to. Like Arch Manning. Arch Manning could very well tell the Arizona Cardinals if they have their number one pick, don't bother. He might do like his uncle did. Don't bother drafting me because I ain't going to go.
Hey, man, got to run. Appreciate it, Roger. Good stuff.
All right, man.
All right, final segment after this.
When your drain backs up, speed matters. So does unclogging.
You know, like we did before COVID hit. And
I miss those
also,
days. I don't think they're coming. I don't think does anybody do Fan Appreciation Day anymore at all? I think with security and with COVID and with all this stuff, I don't know if it's ever coming back. I think we're done with that now, unfortunately. It was a good deal, you know, getting those sitting as guys though.
And it needs to make a comeback, and also you have also you have Copeway when they had that song that you played yesterday morning for from Coldplay, the first couple times hearing that song, I think it was U2 doing it.
Yeah, it's got a little U2 sound to it, Hal. Very good, man. I like that idea. A little U2 sound to it. And a lot like U2 in that world tours and big time and England and U2 from England. Bono and those guys, are they English? Yeah, Coldplay. That's good stuff. Hal, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. Let me get Butch in here. Final phone call of the day. Hey, Butch, thanks for hanging on our Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line. How you doing?
My man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, bro. Doing good?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Blessed.
Doing all right.
Oh,
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, we had football camp this week. I think we have a slow weekend because we're going to the beach and we're going to the mountains and we're doing that concert, that Morgan Wallen deal, and then we'll do baseball camp, and we got a busy summer. So,
yeah, can't hide money, can you?
You can spend it, though. Doggone it. I told my son yesterday.
You can blow them.
When I was a kid, we didn't. One of the things that one of the guys told me is, "Hey, thank the person who gave you, who allowed you to come to this camp." So my son gets in the car yesterday, and he did thank me. He's like, "Hey, thanks for doing this. Can do it next year." So that was good. But man, I had to remind him, I didn't get to go to camps when I was a kid. You know, we couldn't afford that stuff, man. Plus, we're playing baseball all summer long too. So
yeah,
times are different.
Couldn't afford nothing when I was a kid.
That's right. That's right. Walk uphill both ways in the snow. Yeah, that was us.
That's right. I read something yesterday, and it was on Google, so I want to verify for you. Did South Carolina go try to get or buy Georgia Tech head baseball coach?
No, he was on their list. Georgia.
So it was a list.
Yeah, he was on their hot board, according to his websites and all this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you this. He ended up signing an extension with Georgia Tech. And I don't think that he was ever going to get the South Carolina job. But I think it's going to be the Snall guy, Kevin Snall. If not, then maybe the Kansas guy. You'll hear his name a little bit And I think you're going to hear that. Whenever they lose is when they get it. But Ramsey, the guy at Georgia Tech, was he was going to stay at Georgia
Christmas
Tech. I felt
wish
like.
List.
Yeah. Hot boy guy. But no, I think he's going to stay at Georgia Tech.
Where's the other guy out of that you was talking?
Kansas. Well, Snall from Coastal Carolina. He's the leading candidate guy. I'd not be surprised if he gets past him. But that's the guy now. And he's a guy who cut his teeth down there. He was a coach in waiting down there. He was at Central Florida for a little bit, but, you know, he played at Coastal. That's the only thing, Ashby, is that, you know, he played at Coastal. He's been there he's been at Coastal since 2001. He was at Central Florida for 3 years. But as a coach and a player, he's been down there since 1995. He's a catcher on the 95 team. Like, I don't know, man. That's 30 years. You going to give that up?
Here we go again, going buying some old groceries.
No, he's only 49, though. So
yeah, but still, Mickey, man.
That's different than 88, Paul was.
Come on now, Mickey. I know, but I'm just saying, man, if you're going to go after, get something young, get something fresh.
49's not young? I feel old. You're telling me 49's not young. I feel like 49
is
young.
Hey, Mickey, I'm 53. I turned 53 in July, brother. You ain't got me but by 6 years.
I'm going to leave you with this before we go. If you didn't if you didn't know your birthday, how old would you be?
You'd have no clue. I ran across a patient like that one time when I was a firefighter. They were Jehovah's Witnesses and practiced birthdays. You didn't know how old their grandma was.
They really didn't know. My point is, I feel 35.
Yeah, you genuinely didn't know.
I think I'm 35 years old. I'm going 35. That's how I feel like I'm 35.
Oh, now if I felt like it, I'd run. 35 was a good age.
All right. Well, I'll allow that. All right, brother.
You have a blessed weekend. You too, I love being 35. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Feel good. Ask me if you didn't know your birthday. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 22.
If you didn't know your birthday, how old would you be?
19.
There you go.
19.
On my Whoop, for the first time now, I am below my biological age.
Nice, Mickey.
It didn't start out that way, but I'm getting a little better shape.
Good for you.
Blood pressure and all that stuff. Yeah. It's good. All right. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. Good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with them. It can certainly help you out. Anything you want in insurance, you can combine homeowners and auto owners to save money. If you're doing the bank draft right now, do you even know what you pay? You know what you're paying for? You know what your coverage is? Find out. Let's give them a phone call. Let's see if we can compare some rates and coverages and see if we can do better. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Yesterday, you dropped the bomb on us that your aunt Katie is a superstar, world-renowned actress that was on the Eastbound and Down, Four Christmases. She was on...
This is all true, yes.
All this is true. You did this
correct.
Yesterday.
Yes.
American Housewife. That's your aunt.
That's my aunt.
Well, and now you're telling me that... Or Ben Millsett told me this. Your uncle's an Olympian.
This is also correct. Yes.
What?
This is my Aunt Katie's husband.
So you count him as your uncle? I mean, because you're married into it.
Yeah. Like, that's still your uncle.
You introduce him as your uncle, or you introduce him as your aunt's husband?
No, uncle. But I feel like it's an important distinction to tell you that my dad's brother isn't the one in the Olympics.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have a brother. He's got like 17 sisters. He didn't have a brother.
Exactly.
All right. Eastbound and Down's wife actually did marry an athlete.
This is true.
An Olympian.
Through the javelin.
Listen, Bro Greer.
I would tear something so fast. I would tear something so fast trying to do that.
I got to get Bro Greer on the show then.
He's a good dude.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
He was in the Beijing Olympics in 2008. How about that, man?
Mickey, I think you could qualify. We trained you up.
In what?
Curling.
Yeah. I could do it.
Go.
Can I do this with you? All right. Well, Bo Welling is our guy here. He's our curling guy from Greenville. Curling is we do this in golf. My partner in golf a couple weeks ago is one of the best players in the state of South Carolina. He finished second in the state a couple years ago for the state player of the year.
Dang.
He's the most unathletic man I've ever seen in my life. And I talk to people all the time. He's a great example of you don't have to be a good athlete to be a good golfer. I don't think you have to be an athlete to be a curler. Yeah, yes. My curling days, I'm only 50. Hey, yeah, I could do it. I could do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, you could curling. It's kind of the same with pitching. Like, there's some guys that you look at that are great pitchers, and you're like, there's no way. There's no way. You're 5'7".
I'm thinking on the next Celebrity Family Feud, it's going to be, he didn't make the cut. The Olympian didn't get on the your dad made it.
I don't think they were married at the time.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, your husband's going to be a Major League Baseball player. Your aunt is an actress that's a Hollywood superstar. And your uncle's an Olympian. How are you going to get on the team, man? Like, you're going to be the you'll be CBS sideline reporter and doing all this stuff. Who's going to be the fifth?
My dad. I'm going to sit there. They're going to make me ride a gamer.
All right.
Somebody said baseball players are some of the best athletes. True. But pitchers themselves are oftentimes good at one thing alone.
You going to tell Caden that today?
Oh, yeah.
I'll defend you on that one.
Go well.
Skip the music, two-minute drill, final 2 minutes of the week. What do you got for me?
I don't think Chenault leaves Coastal. I don't think he does. Especially if they make it again, I think he's going to want to stay. Wants to win one of his own there.
Interesting. Very interesting. My tip is EricNewton.com. For all your real estate needs, EricNewton.com, Tiger-Properties.com. Anything you want a rental property, you want to manage your rental properties, I'll do all that for you. You're going to love EricNewton.com. Get in touch with them and certainly help you out. Monday show, we're going to review Clemson recruiting. Since we don't have regionals to talk about, Clemson's got a big recruiting weekend. We'll do that. Let me thank Josh Williams. Let me thank Jonathan Monts, Reed Lanco. Ashby, great one. You and your mom have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Salmon Faxon up next. Have a wonderful weekend. Most importantly, tune in on Monday. That's when we will see it right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5.